Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. The last hadith with us today, well, actually it is not the last hadith, but it's in regard of the funeral rites. And afterwards we begin inshallah with the funeral prayer. So this last hadith is hadith number 162. And the brother up there will read it for us, inshallah.
Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam as saying, make haste at a funeral. If the dead person was good, it is a good state to which you are sending him on. But if he was otherwise, it is an evil of which you are ridding yourselves.
In this hadith, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is telling us how to carry the funeral. And carrying the funeral also means that we have to prepare the funeral as quick as possible. But this usually refers to carrying it. However, one may ask, what's the ruling on delaying the washing of the deceased until his family arrive? Scholars say that if it's a short time, this is okay. Half a day, maybe a day, okay, maybe. But if it's more than that, no. Even if it's his son, even if it's his father, you have to hasten with preparation of the funeral. Why? Because the body will decay. The body will start to decompose and it would start to smell and change. And that is why it's something I did not mention when washing the funeral in warm areas. Some scholars say that it is advisable to put a heavy thing on the stomach of the deceased so that it would not start to grow because of the gases and of all of these things. But Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen says that even if you put whatever you put, it has to be extremely heavy, which might cave in. So the best thing nowadays is only to turn on the air conditions, or as in some hospitals, they put them in the coolers. So it is highly advisable to quickly get it over with the funeral and not to postpone it so long. Having said that, once you wash and shroud and offer the prayer, how do I carry it? In some countries, Muslim countries, they walk bit by bit, very short strides, and as if they themselves are dying. They do it very, very slow. In where I come from, usually they shout, they say, Wahidu, meaning proclaim and announce the oneness of Allah. So when they hear this, they say, La ilaha illallah. And all of this is innovation. One should not follow the funeral with shouting or raising the voices. All of this is haram. It should not be followed or preceded by fire. Even to put perfume or incense, this is also not permissible. And some people run literally while carrying it. And they run. This is not permissible because there is a possibility that you will trip and make the deceased fall on the ground. So what to do? The thing is, the proper thing is to walk, but to walk in a fast pace. Why? This is the justification. If you're carrying your brother or your father who's dead, and you know that inshallah he's going to paradise, would you take him slowly? If he was awake, what would he say? Move! Come on, what are you postponing me for? What are you delaying me for? So, as long as he's a righteous person, you try your best to make it quick so that you would give him this gift he is awaiting. And if he's an evil person, and if he's a person with bad deeds, then you would like to relieve yourself from carrying this thing on your shoulder and throw him in his hole so that he would go to the punishment he deserves. So both ways, you would like to make it as quick as possible. Can we follow the funerals riding cars? Yes, you can. But the scholars say that the cars have to be in front, not in the back. Why? Some schools of thought say that those who ride should be at the back. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen says that this is not the right thing to do, because if you're carrying the funeral and there are cars behind you, you're afraid all the time that they're gonna run me over. So you'll not be walking nicely. The best thing for them is to walk in front of you. This would mean that they would open the road for you and you would be able to walk in comfort. Is it for those who walk behind the funeral? They should walk behind it or beside it or in front of it. All is permissible. So if you walk behind it or in front of it or on the sides, this is permissible. And so many times we walk in front of it so that we would take a good position at the grave before they bury the deceased. What else? One would ask, should we say, as the people say, what do you believe or what do you think of the man who's dead? And people say, well, we believe that he's a righteous person, he's a practicing Muslim. Is this part of the Sunnah? No, it is not. Raising the voice and doing this is not considered to be part of the Sunnah. And once he's buried, and we put, well, we did not discuss the type of graves. There is the lahd and there is the shaq. There are two types of graves in Islam. Lahd, which is an L type. So you actually dig the grave and then you make an opening and then the grave goes on. So you put the deceased in the opening and you put bricks or you put stones and then you put the soil back again. And why is this? So that this would be more protected from animals finding the smell or trying to dig it out. The second type, and by the way, this is the way that the Prophet was buried, in lahd. The second type is the shaq, which goes completely down. The burial is taking place and then we put on top of him these stones or these big plates and we bury him. As stated before, how do we put deceased in the grave? We put him head first from the feet of the grave. So if this is the Qibla, this is the feet of the grave, and this is the head of the grave. We put him head down, and then lying him on his right-hand side, facing the Qibla. Do we reveal his face when we put him in the grave? No. We only untie the knots, that is it. But the face, the whole body is covered. After we bury him, the Sunnah is that each one throws three handful of soil in the grave. After burial, we face the Qibla, we raise our hands if we wish, and we seek Allah's forgiveness for him, and that Allah makes him steadfast when he's asked. Because the Prophet said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, سَلُوا لِأَخِيكُمُ التَّثْبِيتِ اسْتَغْفِرُوا لَأَخِيكُمْ وَسَلُوا لَهُ التَّثْبِيتِ فَإِنَّهُ الْآنِ يُسْأَلُ. Seek Allah's forgiveness for your brother, and ask Allah to grant him steadfast, because now he's being interrogated, he's being asked. And we know who will interrogate him, the two angels who would come and make him sit in the grave and ask him, who is your Lord, what is your religion, and who is your messenger, what did you do, how did you respond to him? Yani, I believe that this is what is needed to be known. Next time we meet, inshallah, we will talk about the funeral prayer and how the imam stands from the body. Do we have any questions?
Is it allowed to do postmortem, since we're not allowed to break the bones and stuff like that? Postmortem and something.
Is it allowed to have a body cut off after death? They're doing an autopsy or something like that. If there is a true and real need for that, yes. For example, if there is a doubt that he might have been poisoned or killed and we need to investigate, yes. But in normal cases, no. If a person dies naturally, one would say, yes, he died naturally, but I want to know, was it because of heart attack or high cholesterol levels or high blood pressure. No, this is not permissible. To know the cause of death, not due to a legitimate reason, just for the sake of it, this is completely prohibited, not even to cut a short or a small wound in him. However, some countries, so they tell me, it is mandatory to do this for everyone, whether he dies peacefully or in an accident or in a crime, they do this for everyone. Unfortunately, if you cannot stop them, and this is by law, then may Allah forgive us. But if no, you have the choice, you must stop all proceedings and say, nope, no one touches my deceased or the dead person that is related to me. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.